last couple of days I've been sitting there asking God to help me out here, and I'll be honest with you, like Brother Terry says so many times, I thank God for Brother Terry, by the way. He's been an encouragement to me in my life. God knew what I needed just in time, amen, like he always does, amen. I'm not a big occasional preacher. I really wanted to preach something about Thanksgiving, but I don't think you can thank God enough for what he's done for us and what he does for us every day. You know, I try to be mindful of that in the morning time. I try to be mindful for it in the afternoon time, and I try to be mindful to that thought in the evening time. You know, I thank God that I'm able to wake up and pray for my wife and pray for my son and pray for the church, you know, before I go off to work and others, you know. And I'm glad I'm able to take just a few minutes here and there during the day to thank God for allowing me to be out in the world to be able to talk to other people, you know, that may not know Jesus or the plan of salvation. And every now and then that door will crack open, you know, and I get excited when I get to share the gospel. And it goes back to what I was saying, you know, as far as being able to preach, there's nothing that excites me more than talking about what Jesus did for me. I mean, it thrills my soul to know that Jesus, you know, saved me. I thank God for Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Where would I be without Holy Ghost conviction, you know? Amen. Without God the Holy Ghost pointing me to Jesus, and without Jesus pointing me to God, you know, my life would be a total shambles, total wreck, you know, just as well as yours would be, just as well as yours would be also. I got thinking about Thanksgiving. I got thinking about the Mayflower, you know, and I got thinking about all the Psalms, you know, and I was going through, and there's so many Psalms. Psalm 100, you know, Brother Terry preached on Psalm 100 Sunday morning, you know, and that's a great Psalm. I wanted to preach out of that, you know, and I thought, well, man, there's so many other messages where I could talk about Thanksgiving. I just recently learned a lot about the Mayflower and about the Pilgrims and things of that nature, and I think that's good secular historical facts, you know, that we can actually glean from, you know. But God wouldn't let me get away from Matthew chapter 14. You can go ahead and turn in your Bible there. It's a simple message tonight. I'm a simple man. Y'all all know that. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. If you don't mind, you know, stand when you get there. We'll read right quick and get you seated and see what God has for us. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away." I just want to stop right here and say, you know, a miracle just took place. Jesus, he fed 5,000 using nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then immediately after, now, you know, Jesus had them, he had the disciples to tell the multitude to sit down. And immediately after this miracle, he's telling everybody to go away. It's good for us to go away when something big happens every now and then. We can give thanksgiving in that time, amen? Amen. We can sit there and meditate and see the blessings and the miracles and the manifestations of things that God's done in our life. And no doubt these 5,000 men, what a great miracle that we see in the Bible here, you know. And this big, huge multitude, 5,000 men, that's not counting women and children, are sent away immediately after that. And I believe God wanted that. I believe Jesus wanted that for his disciples to go away and say, okay, this is what I've done. This is what I'm able to do. Now I want you to sit there and think about some of these things. It'd do us some good. Would to God if we could get along from the multitude. But what I like here in this verse, Brother Terry, in verse 22, Jesus got his disciples away. But in verse 28, we see Peter stepped out away from the disciples on his own. It was Jesus who did the work at first. But in 28, Peter, when he decided to step out, he stepped out away from the disciples. Would to God if we could get away from one another every now and then to get along with God. And every now and then, God's going to tell you to do something on your own, and you're going to have to do it by yourself, no matter how much fear may come into your life, no matter how much fear may come into your heart. Jesus tells us to do something, we ought to step out and do it, amen. Hey, I'm preaching to myself when I say that, amen. Verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them, walking onto the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. If you're anything like me at that point in time, if you were in the boat, you'd have threw on your little arm swimmies that they make for little kids. You'd have jumped out on the back of the boat, and you'd have tried to paddle for land as quickly as possible if you're anything like me. Amen. Would to God if we could be a little bit differently when we see Jesus and we run to him. Amen. And in the fourth night, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee unto the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked unto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, don't you like how Jesus does things? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they went in his ship and came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity. And dear Lord God, I pray that you'd be with each single one of these prayer requests, Lord, that were mentioned. Lord, those that are dealing with infirmities. Lord, those that are sick. Lord, I just pray that you'd touch their bodies. Lord, those that are unable to come to the church house tonight, Lord, I just pray, dear Lord God, that you'd be with them and give them what they stand in need of. And Lord, I know there's just few here tonight. But you told us in your word, where two or three are dwelt together in your name, you'll be in the midst, Lord. And I thank you for that promise, Lord. I'm glad that we're able to come, Lord, together during this time of season. Lord, that we'll be able to congregate, Lord, and fellowship with one another, Lord, and have friendship, Lord, during this time of refuge. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our pastor. And dear Lord God, you know I've been struggling this week. You know my makeup. You know my frailties, Lord. You know, Lord, my doubts, Lord, and my insecurities, Lord. You know, Lord, everything that I'm made up of, Lord. And I pray, dear Lord God, that I don't want to stand here by myself, Lord, but I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'd just touch me. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross tonight, Lord. I pray that the saints, Lord, could get some sort of encouragement, Lord, and there'd be one, Lord, who's lost, Lord, who doesn't know you as their personal Savior tonight, Lord. Oh, Lord, what a blessing it would be to see somebody come to Christ tonight, Lord. I pray, dear Lord God, that you'd just touch, that you'd have your way in the service. Lord, that you'd help your people, Lord, and we'll be sure to praise you. We thank you for your long-suffering, your patience, your grace, Lord, your love. And we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. If I had a title of this message tonight, it would simply be, "I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim on my way. I'm a pilgrim on my way." And we know that a pilgrim is nothing more but somebody's just on a travel. A pilgrimage, if you would. Somebody who's just on their way to a spiritual landmark, if you would. A spiritual destination. A heavenly home. Amen? And that's what we are. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. We're not of this world. We're different. We're Christians. Amen? And we ought to be different. We ought to act different. We ought to look different. We ought to speak different. We ought to sound different. Amen? We're pilgrims passing through. I got to thinking about those early pilgrims, Brother Terry. And I got to thinking about, well, what made them leave Europe and that part of the world is the main reason that they wanted to leave was because they were dealing with Christian persecution and they wanted religious freedom. And they came here. And they were on the water for 65 days. Did you know they're on the water for 65 days in that boat? That's a long time, my friend, to be on a boat. You think about in the deep waters where they were, and no doubt they fought some winds like this and some boisterous winds, you know, and some strong winds, and the waters were raging against the boats at times. As a matter of fact, there was a couple times when the pilgrims were on their way over here to seek a place for religious freedom. They had to come across a couple scenarios where they had to park the boat to get it repaired, because if they didn't, it was going to sink. And that actually happened a couple times. They actually headed out. They had to go back. And then when they headed out again, they had to stop somewhere else at another port to get repaired again because of holes. I thought, man, that sounds a lot like the Christian life. It sounds a lot like the Christian life. And a lot of times we find ourselves in these situations to where there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of hardships and there's a lot of headaches and you just want to throw in the towel. And you just want to give up. And you just want to quit. But not the pilgrims. They just kept on fighting through it. Right. Would to God if we could be like the pilgrims. Amen. Would to God if we could be like, hey, when Jesus, hey, he said straightway, the Bible says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. We have an example here. These pilgrims were an example to us. These scriptures, the prophets, given us examples, the Bible says. A way of life, a foundation that was laid before us. Something that was passed down before us. Men and women that, hey, fought and braved up the sea and braved the weather so we might be able to have a better place for religious freedom. That we might be able to hear about Jesus. That we might be able to hear about the plan of salvation. That we might be able to, hey, live peacefully. Hey, without Christian persecution. And here we are. Here we are in 2015. Not looking back. Thanksgiving's not what it used to be. Christmas isn't what it used to be. Everything's been polluted. Everything's been corrupted. Everything's been, perverted, if you would. As Brother Terry stated Sunday morning, and I agree with him, this is one holiday that'd be very hard to mess up, amen? But it's not what it used to be. We've gotten so occupied with the cares of the world. We've gotten so busy with, hey, trying to have Black Friday on Wednesday. We've gotten so busy with having Black Friday a month before Black Friday gets here. Amen? Hey, these people are making a buck, and everybody's caving into the snare. Everybody's caving into the trap. We've gotten so occupied with these things. We've lost focus, just like Peter did when he stepped out on the boat. Hey, and the winds came, and hey, it's those attacks. It's that spiritual warfare that we're in. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, you know? Against powers and darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this thing's for real, my friend. And it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse. And we're caving into the temptations, and we're caving into the snares that he's throwing at us. Right. And we ought to make a stand. Hey, we don't have to sit there and get on the side of the road with big signs and yell at people, but we ought to do it within our heart. We ought to purpose in our heart like Daniel did, Brother Terry. We ought to be more serious about spiritual matters, about the things that God's given us. We ought to take a little bit more serious about, hey, some of these pilgrims that stepped on the scene before us, that blazed the trail before us, that were willing to make a stand before us, that were willing to share before us, that was willing to speak before us. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. In verse 28, I just want to say a few things by way of introduction before that, but God help us to pray. God help us to pray. No doubt, hey, these pilgrims before us, you know, if you go and you look through Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, if you would, the faith chapter, it starts out by saying in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, we know the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. But several verses in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Moses, by faith, harlot, Rahab, you know, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it stops off in verse 13. Y'all bear with me here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. You don't have to turn there. This is not this. So it's going through this whole list. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. And they what? they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm glad I'm a pilgrim passing through. I'm glad this earth ain't my home. I'm glad I'm not part of the earth. Hey, I have to live here. I have to be here. But I'm glad I don't have my affection set on the cares of the world. Amen. I want to be like, hey, I want to be like this pilgrim here. I want to use Peter as a pilgrim tonight, as an example as a pilgrim tonight. The Bible says in verse 28, and Peter answered him. Let me read verse 27 again. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. In verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know what the pilgrim ought to do? Right here we see the pilgrim speaking up. Right away when he's speaking up, do you see where his attention is? He's kept his attention on Jesus. He's looking towards Jesus, the author and finisher of my salvation, of your salvation if you're a child of God. He's looked out. Hey, when everybody else has stepped out or stepped in the back of the boat, we see this pilgrim who's willing to make a stand. He said, hey, I might be a little afraid right now. I might be a little intimidated. We've got these winds coming. We've got these waves coming. They're boisterous. They're strong. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. You know what we ought to do as pilgrims? We ought to keep the standard that's been set before us. Sure. We ought to be bold. We ought to keep the standard that's been set before us. We've got a goodly heritage, my friend. We've got a good heritage. We ought to keep the standard. Hey, when everybody else wants to compromise and everybody else wants to lower the bar and everybody else is willing to compromise, we ought to keep that standard high for ourselves. If not, hey, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Right? We ought to give with our heart. We ought not give because somebody's done put their thumb on us or pinned us up in the corner, but because we love Jesus. We love Jesus. And He's got a standard in His Word that He's given us. We ought to be a peculiar people. Hey, we ought to be a separated people. You see here, in the Bible, Jesus separated the disciples. But then this one pilgrim, he separated himself. He went above and beyond the call of duty. He said, I'm going to live a separate life. I'm going to Jesus. We ought to set our affections towards Jesus. We ought to keep the standard where it's at. We ought not lower the standard, my friend. The pilgrim, he spoke up. He kept the standard. He kept striving. Hey, he said, I'm stepping out. And as he stepped out of the boat, Brother Todd, he stepped out of the boat and he started walking. Now remember, we've got waves and winds around us right here, friends. They didn't stop when he spoke up. They didn't stop. They didn't cease then, did they? I didn't read that wrong, did I? So we've got all these winds, Brother James, and we've got all these waves, and they're crashing on us violently. Ain't that our life? You ever feel that way sometimes? But you know, when Jesus is close by, it ain't too hard. It ain't too difficult. You might be able to get your eyes off of Him. You might look the wrong way. You might get a little distracted. There might be a little howling as a roaring lion. That distraction, that subtle distraction. That distraction could come in a lot of different forms depending on what your weakness is. My weakness is going to be a little bit different than your weakness, vice versa. But you know what? It'll be thrown out there to distract you. It'll distract you in a heartbeat. It'll distract you. He'll do anything to get your eyes off Jesus. He'll do anything to get your eyes off Jesus. Hey, He's going to come in a different form, Miss Lynn. It might be different for you than it is me. I ain't going to sit here and talk about my weaknesses in front of you right now. So don't think I am. But he kept on striving. Paul said, I press towards the mark. That's what he said. Paul was a man who was stoned, left for dead, rolled down in a basket, beat on, I don't know how many times, but he kept on striving. He kept on striving. He got up in front of Felix and he said, let me tell you what happened to me. Everywhere he went, he said, let me tell you what happened. I was on that dirty old road to Damascus, and all of a sudden I lost all sight. And Jesus said, hey, why do you kick against the pricks? He lost his sight. He couldn't see a thing for days until God healed him. But when he opened his eyes, amen, he saw life in a different way. And at that point, he kept on striving. He kept on striving. He kept on going. He kept on going for Jesus. So we as pilgrims, we ought to keep our standard. We ought to keep on striving. We ought to not give up. Hey, when the tough get going, the going get tough, amen. I like them old school phrases you don't hear all the time anymore. Amen?
Right.
I grew up on hearing stuff like that. And then I got older and I forgot it because I never used it. I want to start using stuff like that again. I like it. Yeah. I like stuff like that. But that's what we ought to be. We ought to be tough. We ought to be tough for Jesus. Amen? We ought to keep on striving. We got to keep that standard, church. We got to keep on striving. And you know what else? We got to keep on seeking. What did I say? Hey, the very second he started sinking, the pilgrim started sinking when he got his eyes off Jesus. Just like that. I wonder how many times we cave into those snares, we cave into those temptations. We get so consumed. I'll be honest with you. I get tired of dealing with all the worldly troubles. I get tired of dealing with all the heartaches and the headaches that come with the deception and the manipulation from people out in the world. How they'll wipe that rug out from under you in a heartbeat to make themselves look better. You've all dealt with it. And it's real easy, my friend. It's real easy to get distracted with things like that. It's real easy to get hurt with things like that. It's real easy to hold on to those kind of things like that to discourage you and to keep you from striving, to keep you from keeping the standard. To keep you from seeking. Hey, when all else fails, turn to Jesus. Hey, look for Jesus, the author and finisher. He's there to help, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He loves us. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Hey, that's exactly what happened here to this pilgrim. Amen. When he started sinking, he looked over to Jesus, and he spoke up one more time after that, but it was then that the winds began to cease. Amen. It was when Jesus got in the boat. It was when Jesus, It was when Jesus put his hands on him, and that's where we ought to be. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, my friend. He's got nothing for him. We know how the book ends. We don't have to be discouraged.
Amen.
You hear me, Miss Alicia? We don't have to be discouraged because of the weight of the world. We don't have to be discouraged because of, hey, when you go out and you turn on the TV or you see the things that are going on in the world, and you look out and you see such doom and you see such horrific things taking place with people just killing innocent people for no reason at all, and you get discouraged and you think, Lord, help, how is this happening? You know, how much further is this place going to go? You know, when this world gets so sin sick and filled with darkness and doom and gloom, all we got to do is just turn to Jesus and say, you know what? I've got the blessed hope. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm going to keep my standard. I'm going to be a difference maker in somebody else's life. Amen. The Bible says, and of some, having compassion, making a difference. We got to keep that compassion. We got to keep that standard. We got to keep on seeking Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. You shall receive. According to his will. But what is his will? Does your will line up with his will? I know sometimes I struggle with that. I don't know about you. Hey. I got this old flesh. We got to die daily, right? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. One of the hardest things you'll have to deal with as a Christian is humbling yourselves.
Amen.
The second thing after that is becoming a servant. Two hard things for the pilgrim, my friend. Verse 28, we see the pilgrim speaking up. Keeping the standard we ought to. Keep on striving. Keep on seeking. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We see the pilgrim stepping out. That's another picture of separation, Brother Todd. They separated themselves. Them old pilgrims, when they hopped on that boat, they were seeking, hey, Christian freedom. They were trying to get away from Christian persecution. They were trying to have religious freedom. They were trying to set their affections and their desires towards heavenly things. That's all they were after. That's all they were after. I said that's all they were after. That ought to hit you in the heart. It hits me in the heart when I hear it. The Bible says draw nigh to God. The pilgrim stepping out. See them separating themselves. He said, I'm coming to you, Jesus. I just want to get close to you. He set his affections on Jesus. He set his attention on Jesus. He set his affairs on Jesus. Hey, he threw all other cares away, Brother Terry. I'll never forget when I first met Hannah. I knew without a shadow of a doubt I wanted her to be my wife. The very moment I saw her, I wanted that woman to be my wife. I did anything in my willpower to have a conversation with her, to let her know that I appreciated who she was. I started setting my affection on my bride-to-be. I started setting my attention on my bride-to-be. And I started setting my affairs on my bride-to-be. I dropped all other friendships because they were useless. And they meant nothing. And I saw what I wanted in life. And I knew when I saw her, Brother James, that I wanted a wife. Then I got to know her. I found out what kind of woman she was. And I liked her. And I wanted to be with her all the time. I wanted to sit and talk with her. I wanted to know what she liked and what she didn't like. I wanted to know what made her happy. That takes time. Don't it, Brother Todd? Don't it, Miss Jennifer?
Work in progress.
It takes time. All y'all's married in here, y'all know what I'm talking about. It takes time. Little ones come in the picture. Things change. Relationships change. You strive. You set your attention. You set your affection. You set your affairs on the one that you love. I got to remind my little one every now and then, hey, she was mine before she was yours. Right? Things change when little ones come in the picture. And it's a work. We ain't no different with our Heavenly Father, right? We ought to keep. Hey, they had one desire, remember? All they wanted was freedom. Liberty in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And they were willing to pay the price. They were willing to sacrifice their lives to be able to get to that land. We ought to be like that with him. I ought to set my attention and my affairs and my affection on the one who saved me.
Hey.
He's worthy of it. I thank him. I can't thank him enough. I'll never forget the day, hey, he constrained me. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. We see the pilgrim's submissiveness. Saw the pilgrim speaking up. Saw the pilgrim stepping out, separation. And we see the pilgrim's submissiveness. Hey, when everything else goes to
poop, if you would.
You got Jesus. It's amazing to me when we go through these struggles and go through these hardships and go through these headaches in life. It never ceases to amaze me how easy it is for us to go to all other places before we just turn to the one. The only one. The only one who can do for us what nobody else can. Who can give us that peace. Who can restore our joy. Who can rejoy our or renew our strength. Who can, he can be a very present help in time of trouble. If we just submit ourselves. I wonder how much we could prosper. Sometimes I think, man, if we could all come into one accord. If we could all come into one accord as a church, as pilgrims, if you would, as disciples of Jesus, and set aside all the cares of the world just for a moment and really come together. This matter of prayer. I wonder how much of us are willing to sacrifice just a few moments, just a few extra moments every day to get closer to Him, to sacrifice. When these pilgrims before us, they sacrificed their lives that we could have the religious freedom that we do have today. Here in 2015, you hear these stories about, we're going to lose our religious freedom soon enough. I think it could happen. I really do. I think the doors on churches could close just like that at any given moment. And some of the stories and the testimonies you hear about Christian persecution that goes on all over the world are just horrific. They're horrible. They're gross. I've heard about people in Asia. I've read about people in Asia who live in dog kennels because they spoke the name of Jesus. Here we are in the greatest, greatest country known to man, even today, on the brink of that possibly happening here. And yet, we spend most of our time being that pilgrim looking the wrong way. God help us. God help us tonight. Help us to be these pilgrims of strength. Help us to encourage one another.
Amen.
Help us to lift each other up. Help us to set aside our opinions of one another.
Amen.
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 Help us to set aside our opinions of one another.
Amen.
One of the biggest things we could do for one another is to help each other. I'm talking about spiritually, Brother Terry. I'm talking about people really getting a hold of saying, you know what? I want to be that one who's going to be a different thinker. I'm going to be that one who's willing, not to worry about, if I got my feelings hurt just a little bit, I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm going to let it roll off my back like water.
Amen.
And I'm going to go try to heap some coals of fire on somebody's head. I want to be a pilgrim tonight.